guns of what we are dealing with in a bill, and we had to find one of our members to, and we thank Honorable Dlakute for coming in, because she was in a club supporting a friend. Thank you very much. We are continuing with the Road Accident Fund Transitional Provisions Bill to deliberate on it. Last week, we had a presentation from the Law Society of South Africa and responses from the Senior Counsel representing the department. Today we are going to be looking at the proposed amendment on clause 2 and allow the Senior Counsel to take us through together with the department. Thereafter, we will then deliberate on the bill clause by clause. When we have concluded that and inserted the relevant amendments, we will then have to allow for a process where the printing of the bill, including the amendments, which then has to come back to us again for us to then approve with the amendments. And then after that, it goes to ATC, and we will need to finalize to approve the bill for that process to take place either tomorrow, latest tomorrow evening, so as to allow for the ATC process, because in terms of the program of Parliament, there are only 2 days that Parliament will be focusing on legislation. It is the 21st of August and the 28th of August, and we would like this bill to not miss those 2 days. So the request that I'm making is that when we have agreed on the bill today, we then allow for the final, for the printing of the final version of the bill. We come back tomorrow at some time to approve the bill, which will be the final draft, so as to allow enough time for putting the bill on ATC, so that we can then meet the 21st, 28th deadline in Parliament. Are there any contrary views on that, in terms of utilizing tomorrow to actually approve the bill?
Chairperson, I don't have a problem with that. We just are going to battle to find a time tomorrow. We've got a WIPS group meeting. The DA has got a WIPS group meeting. And we have an early morning, we have a 10 a.m. unusual joint sitting tomorrow, which we don't normally have. So by the time we finished our WIPS group and the 10 a.m. unusual joint sitting and then the afternoon session, finding a time is going to be difficult. The only time I can think of is to do it straight after the afternoon sitting. But how long would we need? If it's a short thing, we could just quickly do it in lunch break or straight after the evening sitting. Otherwise, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, for half an hour. Those are the 3 times I can think of, because tomorrow is quite full.
It would take us half an hour to conclude. My view was that we could utilize lunch time or immediately after the house sitting.
We could do it after the morning house sitting, you know, the joint sitting. When the joint sitting is finished, we could quick, half an hour. That would work.
Honorable Dawoodi.
Thanks, Chairperson. I was thinking that if we can do it in the morning, that will be fine, because by 1 o'clock I'll be sitting for my exams. I won't be here. I mean tomorrow. Between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock we'll be writing, so I won't be part of this meeting. Thanks.
If we do it tomorrow morning, at what time can we do it? Because Honorable Olive has got a WIPS meeting.
The only time I've got free tomorrow is from the time the joint sitting finishes, which I don't know what time that will be, 11:30 maybe, 12. From then until 1:30 I'm free. So from let's say 12 until 1:30 I'm free. But in the early morning we've got meetings and then we've got the joint sitting. So whatever time the joint sitting finishes, then I'm free for however long, an hour or whatever.
I wanted to propose, Chairperson, through you, that if we can do this maybe 8:30 in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. Because the joint sitting will start at 10 o'clock and ends at 12 o'clock. My understanding is that. Otherwise, it will be between 12 and 1. Then I live with that. If it's between 12 and 1, then it's okay.
I think between 12 and 1 is more practical. Can we then say that we will do it immediately after the house sitting? Between 12 and if the house adjourns at the joint sitting adjourns at 12, we immediately sit down and go through it before lunch. Before 1. The secretary will announce it and will give us information of which venue we shall be utilizing. Agreed? Thank you. Can we then ask the department to take us through the amendment? Advocate Masombo.
Thanks, Chairperson. Our request today is that we still further continue to request the committee to adopt the bill as is, with one exception, which is clause 21F. We request that the clause 21F be substituted for the following new 21F. And it was emphasized in the previous meeting, and we have discussed this new version or latest version with the state law advisor, and there is one little thing that two words that we have added to the one that was read previously. So I would like to continue to read the version for 21F that we request that it be incorporated into the bill to substitute the one that is standing in the bill, and it reads as follows. Notwithstanding the transitional regime contemplated in this act, the only thing that we have added from the previous one is contemplated in this act, and it reads as follows completely. Notwithstanding the transitional regime contemplated in this act, section 17(4)(b) of the new act and the tariff thereunder shall have no effect on the claim of the suppliers of goods and services in terms of section 17(5) of the old act in respect of costs incurred by the third party prior to this act taking effect. That is the only proposed amendment that we want to put before the committee, the substitution of clause 21F to this new one that I've just read. Thanks, Chairperson.
And that substitution is as a result of the deliberations that took place in our meeting, in the meeting that was held last week on Tuesday.
Yes, Chairperson. It was in response. It doesn't make that much of a difference. We have just elaborated this substitution to make it much clearer. Thanks, Chairperson.
I will then open an opportunity for members to comment on this.
Thank you, Chairperson. We concur with the department and the stakeholder advisors on the amendment, especially when they taking into cognizance the inputs that were coming from the various stakeholders, especially those that made written submissions and make oral submissions to us. I'm happy with that because it seems to me they did find one another on this one, because it was a bone of contention. Thank you, Chair.
Are there any further comments from members of the committee? If there are none, can we get the opinion of the state law advisor?
Chairperson, my input would be that, Chairperson, in my view, the proposed amendment reflects the proposal, Chair, that was put forward during the deliberation, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone from the department that would want to make any addition?
No one, Chairperson. I'm leading the delegation. They could have made that to me.
Yes, you don't want anyone to use their power. Okay. Can we then go through the bill? We are deliberating the bill to provide for transitional measures in respect of certain categories of third parties whose claims were limited under the Road Accident Fund Act 1996, Act Number 56 of 1996, prior to August 1st, 2008, and to provide for matters connected therewithin. We are saying that it be enacted by Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. Can we then deal with section, the definition of the act? Can we have any comments, if there are any, on the definition? We agree with the definition.
Okay, Chairperson.
Can we move to clause 2? So on 2.1. 2.1A. 2.1B. 2.1B1, Roman figure 1, 2.1B, Roman figure 2, 2.1C, Roman figure 1, 2.1C, Roman figure 2,
that this form, RAF1 form, I understand it's not yet drawn up. Am I right?
Chairperson, the forms normally get prescribed by regulations, so it will be in the regulations. We do have a draft. It will be published together with the regulations for people to comment on the form together with the regulations.
and satisfied, Honourable Oli?
I'm happy with that. We obviously just need to, at the appropriate time, then just see a draft of the form. But we will get that, I'm sure, from the department. If the department sends us that form, then we can approve this, because we'll see the form when they send us a copy.
Allowing honourable members from the DA to finish their caucus.
It's just a question. There was some debate in the newspaper about one of these clauses, and we're just conferring quickly.
Are you done, Honourable Oli?
2 seconds. Which line is the non-pecuniary loss referred to?
I'm asking you, Chairperson, in this house to allow the DA to go and open caucus outside, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My view would be that let's continue. Maybe before we adopt or anything, we can always go back to the DA, because we are only left with 2 clauses or so.
We'll make just a comment at the end, but please carry on. We're happy with all the other clauses. There's just one clause that we have a query on.
We are on clause 2.1, Roman figure E. 2.1E, Roman figure 2. Can we? We are on clause 2.1F, which is the amendment proposed.
So we agree as amended, because we've just dealt with it.
The amended clause is better, so yes, we would like the amended one, please.
Clause 2.1. F is agreed to as amended. We are on 2.1G.
Chairperson, this is where our concern is. You need to read G in conjunction with 2.1B, is it? The right to pecuniary, non-pecuniary loss is limited to 25,000. What's been debated in the media over this weekend is the effect of those two put together. Well, I know that's complicated, but the point is this. We are saying that you can't claim more than 25,000 for non-pecuniary loss unless, and then we've got a whole lot of conditions. The unless is, unless it's a serious injury, or unless you have lost a limb and you can't work and this outlet. The debate in the media about this has been this. We are saying in G that the owner, the driver, and the employer, etc., are absolved, and you can't claim against them. But then on the other hand, we're limiting the amount you can get for non-pecuniary loss to 25,000. Now, the debate in the media has been not the fact that you're limiting the to 25,000, because the fund has got not unlimited funds. The government has a limited amount of money. The fund has a limited amount of money. So the limiting of the non-pecuniary loss is not at issue. What's at issue in the media is that you then say, I can't sue the driver for the rest. That's the problem. The problem is that this act says you're taking my rights away to sue the driver or the owner of the vehicle, but I can't get more than 25,000 out of the fund. Should this go to the Constitutional Court, the Constitutional Court might say we don't have a right to do that. You can either do one or the other, but if you do both, you then remove the rights of the passenger in that taxi to claim. Now, I would like to hear the state law advisor's opinion on that, because, of course, before the DA agrees to that, we need to get a legal opinion on that debate. The rest of this bill, I think, is pretty acceptable, and we have to approve a bill, as we know, because the Constitutional Court has instructed us to approve it, so we're not going to stop a bill being approved. But we're just wondering about a potential challenge. You know, Parliament approves it, and then yet again it gets thrown back at us by the Constitutional Court, because we've said you can't have more than 25,000, but you also can't sue the driver or the owner or the whoever caused the accident. It then limits your rights as the passenger. And is that fair? And I think I'm not a lawyer. And my colleague over here, Honourable Kramlock, is not a lawyer either, I don't think. So perhaps we should ask for the lawyers, with your permission, Chairperson, to give us an opinion on the constitutionality or the probable constitutionality of that problem, of those two put together, because that's the only question that we know of that's been debated in the last week on this bill. The rest of the bill seems to not have attracted a lot of serious debate, but that putting those two clauses together seems to raise a question and has been debated, and we don't want to see this bill thrown back at us by the Constitutional Court saying we can't do that. Are we allowed to do that? And that's my question. Thank you.
Chairperson, before the State Law Advisor can come in, I will give it to Mr. Gow to respond to that, because we've got the response.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this issue is just the same issue which was raised in the committee last week by the Law Society, but it's just rehashed in another form, and it was dealt with by Advocate Budlander. Essentially, we don't limit the claim to 25,000 Rand. It must be remembered that the claim for non-pecuniary loss is limited to 25,000 Rand if the person doesn't have a serious injury. In the event that they have a serious injury, they then move into the same, in theory, unlimited category. So there's no cap on their pecuniary loss if they're seriously injured. And Advocate Budlander pointed out that this has been accepted by the Constitutional Court in the challenge of the Law Society versus the Minister of Transport and the Road Accident Fund. So essentially, it's exactly where the money argument comes in, Chair, is to say that we don't have unlimited pockets. So we're only limiting the non-pecuniary loss to 25,000 Rand for those people who don't have a serious injury. Those that have a serious injury will get way in excess of the 25,000 Rand, and all the other damages of all the injured people are catered for. So in other words, their pecuniary losses, their loss of income, their loss of support, all that sort of stuff, like Advocate Budlander pointed out last week, those are covered. It's only the non-pecuniary loss, and the Constitutional Court has already pronounced on the constitutionality of that approach where funds are limited. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Kramlock.
Thanks, Chair. I mean, I think that's a very accurate summary of what we did indeed talk about last week. I'm not arguing with the are you an attorney from the department? Let's just say the department, right? I mean, that is what we discussed last week, and I don't think my colleague and I had a problem with that. But what's here is different. As I understood it last week, as has been explained to us now, it was a cap on what could be paid out from the road accident fund. And we accepted that argument because all the reasons why we're unhappy about the general situation of the fund, it doesn't have unlimited funds. This clause is not limiting the money that can be paid out from the fund. It's not capping that. It's actually capping, in fact, it's preventing any claim against a negligent driver. So there is a difference, I would have thought, unless I've misunderstood it. Because if you're capped by the fund, surely you have a right, if someone has been grossly negligent and is at fault, to claim the balance of your claim from the errant driver. So I can't quite see why it's been said that this is a rehashing of the same thing. It might be that it's a rehashing of the capping argument, but the capping in this particular clause is proposed in a completely different place, and I think it makes it completely different. We agree that the fund should have a 25,000 rand cap, but no one ever said last week that we're also going to say you can't claim against the errant driver or owner or employer. So unless I've misunderstood, I'm not sure with respect that we are talking about the same thing here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, although this bill, Chair, deals with people who have claims before 1st August 2008, this absolving Chair of the owner, driver, and employer of the driver is not new in legislation. In the Principal Act, Chair, in Section 21, there is a provision that is absolving the owner, the driver, and the employer of the driver from liability. It's not nothing new. The Parliament passed it, Chair. And Chair, I believe that the policy, the decision to that, Chair, is that the primary purpose of the fund is a sort of an indemnity for drivers, because they already pay the levies and everything, Chair. I think that was the decision, Chair, why this particular provision was inserted. Now, Chair, coming to G, Chair, in my view, Chair, I don't see any legal problem with the provision, Chair, but it is not in conflict, Chair, with Clause 2B, Chair. And as it is stated here in this committee, Chair, there's no limitation to what the person can claim. If you're seriously injured, you can claim beyond 25,000 rand. If you're not seriously injured, you'll be limited up to 25,000 rand. In my view, Chair, there's really no conflict here in this particular provision with Clause 2B, Chair. The absolving of the owner, driver, and employer of the driver, Chair. It is in legislation, even now as we're speaking, Chair. Thank you very much.
Can I just clarify this for myself? Are you saying that the current Act, Road Accident Fund Act, limits certain claims? Like, for example, you can only claim 180,000 per annum or whatever the figure is for loss of income. So in other words, the current Act limits certain things you can claim, but the current Act also prevents you from suing the driver. So in fact, the principle that we're arguing about, does the state law advisor say, is entirely the same as the current bill, which is already accepted at the Constitutional Court level. Is that what he's saying? Because if that is so, then of course the Constitutional Court will probably not throw this back at him. But I want him to say it, not the department, because the department is in our
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the statement that you have uttered now, I agree with you. That is the current position at the moment.
So we've currently got limitation, and we currently prevent you also from suing the driver.
That is the current legislative position at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, if it's not yet clear, the department want to further elaborate on that. Yes.
Sorry, Madam Chair, maybe I didn't explain correctly the first time. And in hindsight, what I perhaps should have said is that, look, this act, as said by Advocate Budlander, provides more than the current act, because that 25,000 rand that we're providing now isn't provided in the current legislation. Under the current legislation, if you don't have a serious injury, you don't get any general damages. And that is why we said this provision, or this bill, is more generous than the current legal position. And I apologize, it was understood that I was attacking the honorable member. We just hadn't seen the article, and we assumed that it was a rehash in a different way of the same argument. But this bill is better than the current legal position, and the current legal position has been tested in the Constitutional Court, Madam Chair.
I am covered, because you see, even before honorable member always raised this matter around G, I also had my own questions around the driver and the owner and how they are being absolved, you know, because the desperation is that, as Mr. Klumbe used the word, errant drivers, and you can't get them to be punished, but then I understand they are being punished in another way. If you look at the train driver, the level crossing, that taxi driver, he was punished, get his juice. For me, it's just the desperation of getting those that are not observing the law to the limit, who becomes scot-free, you know. But then this act, in terms of the compensation, it does cover me. And secondly, also those who are the offenders are dealt with by the law in another bill. So I'm covered, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Ali, you happy? Thank you. Okay. Can we then move to clause 3? We are on 2. Yeah. 2. Okay. Can we go back on 2.1G? Are we in agreement with that clause? Thank you. And then clause 2.2. Clause 2.2. Clause 3. The short cycle and commencement. And then we're on now page 4. The memorandum on the object of the Road Accident Fund Transitional Provision Bill number.
Chairperson, surely, sorry, I'm interrupting you, but just in the interests of the time that we have, I'm sure we don't need to agree every clause of the memorandum, because it's just explanation notes. It's not the actual bill, so I'm sure we can just accept it as a block and not have to go over
every. No, we are not going to go on clause by clause on that one. And even on the object of the bill, we are not going to go on clause by clause. Are we agreed? Thank you very much. Even the consultation process, we agree with it. Parliamentary process, procedure, agreed. Thank you. That then brings us to the end of the deliberation. What we will then be doing is to what we will be left with is to take the bill back to for printing, to insert the amendment, and then we will reconvene tomorrow, immediately after the joint sitting, to adopt the bill. Now I take this opportunity to thank the department. Can we do this? Can we have a mover for the adoption of the bill as amended today so that tomorrow we just confirm? Honorable Suga?
Chairperson, I would want to move formally that the bill be accepted with amendment.
Any seconder? Honorable Suga?
Thanks, Chairperson. I second.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity to thank the committee for the deliberation as well as the department and the state law advisor and the parliamentary law advisor. We will be meeting tomorrow to conclude on the bill. Thank you very much. The meeting is not adjourned. Honorable Krumbo, you have your hand up. Honorable Krumbo, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't sure what the agenda for our meeting was. Just had deliberations on this bill we've been working on. Do we have any other items for discussion?
We don't have, except that I have an announcement. There is a letter from the Minister of Transport.
All right. To the committee. If I could, when you've completed your formal part of the meeting, Chair, if I could just address you and the committee on a matter as well, please. It doesn't have to involve the department, certainly not, but I'd just like to reserve my spot to thank that minister.
The department and all